I've been in ministry now for just over 10 years, and I'm in the process, just like Pastor Andy is, of going for full ordination this year, so I'm really excited about that. Started out as a youth pastor and kind of have worked my way through youth and family and children's ministries, and right now I'm an associate pastor at Lighthouse, which is a new church as well, that we meet in Peachtree. Well, we used to meet in Peachtree City. We've now moved locations to Tyrone. We have moved up in the world to Tyrone, Georgia, and it was a very exciting move. I understand you guys had a move last year, so it was kind of along the same lines to a different space and one that was suited better to us. It was really interesting that I have been asked to preach on He Said, She Said, because I have I've been married for 16 years. And I have known my husband for 20 years. And when I got into ministry, he was very supportive, and he was willing to accept that I had a call and that I needed to go do some things to pursue that call. But the first time I went up to preach, he said, "Now remember, you are not supposed to talk about me in sermons." And I just went, "Okay, where did that come from?" He goes, "Well, you know, we listen to Chuck every Sunday, and Chuck always talks about Penny. And I don't want you to talk about me." And I thought, well, you are my best material. I mean, how am I supposed to talk about love and grace and forgiveness if I can't talk about you and all of the love and grace and forgiveness that you need to have? So anyway, I thought, well, how am I supposed to talk about this? I can't talk about him. And then I thought, he's not going to be here. And it's okay. I mean, normally when I preach at my church, it's going to get back to him. He's going to be in the grocery store. Someone's going to see, and hey, that story about you when you did that silly thing in college. And, you know, so I can't do that. But here, I'm pretty sure we're not going to come up here to go grocery shopping, because that's kind of a long way from Peachtree City. So I think I'm safe. So I probably am negating everything Pastor Andy said last week about respect. But that's okay, because I'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about forgiveness. So hopefully that'll balance out, because I have got a story to tell. Now, I have plenty of embarrassing stories about my husband that I could tell, but that would also embarrass me as well, so I'm not going to tell those. I'm going to tell one that is just mildly embarrassing for both of us. When we were first dating, we met in college, and we'd been dating for a little while, and it was, you know, we're in that new romance, exciting, you know, everything you do is kind of cute, and oh, you know, it's just all good stuff. And so we'd been dating for a few months, and I thought, you know, I am in love. I was just so excited, and I kind of, you know, I was like, okay, well, I'm in love. But, you know, as a female, we don't want to say it first. And that could be just the way I was raised, that, you know, girls don't say that first. Or it could be because, you know, you hear about girls being clingy, and I don't want to be too clingy. So I was like, I know he loves me. I want to hear him say it. And so the big spring formal was coming up. And so you know how it is when you get all dressed up and the guy's in the tux and you get a corsage and it's just all romantic. So we go where we're there, and I'm like, how could I get him to tell me? So I did probably the stupidest thing that anyone could do, and that was I engaged in quite a bit of PDA that night. If you don't know what PDA is, it's public displays of affection. Now, public displays of affection, you know, holding the hand, a little kiss, that's okay. But when I started youth ministry, I told the kids, I said, "Now listen, if you're dating and you go on a trip, you can scope and you can hope, but you cannot grope." And that became the rule. There's no groping involved. But however, I did not listened to that advice on this particular evening, and there was some groping involved. Not anything, you know, lewd, just a lot of, you know, it started with some hand-holding and looking into the eyes, and then it was, you know, little kiss here, another little kiss, eat a bite of food, take a kiss. And all of a sudden, we're on the dance floor, and it turns PG-13. Now, it wasn't horrible, but it was enough that for weeks and months afterwards, people would talk about, you know, get a room, will ya? You're not going to do that again, are you? And he got teased so much that even to this day, he might hold my hand in public, but if I go over to give him just like a little peck on the cheek, he turns bright red and he's not in front of people. And he just gets all upset about it. So that's kind of our PDA story. People have expectations when it comes to things like that. And I expected that if I showed him all of this physical attention, that he would tell me he loved me. And like an idiot, I thought, yeah, great. And he didn't. He just was like, hey, I'm just going to, you know, I'm enjoying this. This is nice. And then 3-4 weeks later, he finally tells me, and I go, oh, thank goodness. And he was like, was that what that was all about? And I was like, yeah. Okay, well, you don't have to do that. And I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson that those kind of things, especially for him, it didn't necessarily mean I was showing my love. It was just something that it was kind of a stupid thing to do. Because you can scope and you can hope, but you can't grope. We have these unrealistic expectations when it comes to men and women, especially when it comes to romance, and definitely when it comes to marriage. It's said that at 2 years is kind of that in love period when you're married, and you're just all starry-eyed and everything they do is cute. And after about 2 years, you kind of fall out of that period, and you're just into the love portion, where what they used to do that was cute is now really annoying. And you have to really, this is when you know you love them. Because that used to be cute, and now I'm going to stick with you even though that thing that you do is so incredibly annoying and grating on me that I'm going to have grace and forgiveness because that, I just can't handle that. But our media is really bad at this, aren't they? We have these views of what men should be when they're romantic. And men, I don't know if you feel this way, but you probably don't feel you can live up to this. I mean, I think about what it means to be romantic, and this is what we see. We have a clip of this.
I am Pepe Le Pew, your lover.
You see, that was me at the formal. That was, you know, what I did. And we have that expectation, and it's just not, that's not all it is. That's not all that romance and love is. It's not all this physical attention. It's not the Addams Family, you know. I mean, sometimes that's kind of nice when you get kissed up the arm, but, you know, that's not all it is. But women, I have to tell you guys, this is a little time out here. I had like 3 women come up to me and give me notes before the sermon today. So can you mention this, please? So I might mention some of them, but that was kind of interesting. So, but we have this expectation, guys, of what love should be like. And unfortunately, that expectation does not come from God, and it does not come from the Bible. It comes from Walt Disney. Let's watch this.
How does she know you love her?
Oh, no, no.
How does she know
people looking?
She's yours?
Don't sit. It's okay. You know, let's just walk. Can we walk? Okay.
How does she?
Yeah.
How does she know that you love her?
Oh.
He knows the song, too?
How do you show her you love her?
How does she know that you really, really,
truly love her?
I've never heard this song.
How does she know that you love her? How do you
All
show
right.
her you love her?
Really nice work.
How does
okay,
she know
that's
that you really, really,
Good.
Really
took care of her. Let's go. Okay.
Love her. It's not enough to take the one you love for granted.
Oh, I've seen quite enough. Let's go.
A ball?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be fun.
That would not be fun. They don't know where she lives.
That's pretty much it. That's how you know, and that's what we want. So in closing today, well, I mean, seriously, that's what we want. We all want the fairy tale. We want to live happily ever after and get on the carriage and go on our merry way and just think that the rest of the story is just like that first part. And sometimes we get a little bit of the fairy tale and we're happy with that. But when that doesn't sustain over years and years and years of marriage or of a relationship or whatever, we get a little disappointed. We're not quite sure how to do that. We've got all these unrealistic expectations. However, if you listen in the movie, in that little part there, there are some things that we can learn, I think, that will help us along the way. And definitely when it comes to scripture, we've got realistic expectations here, although it may not be as clear. Our scripture today comes from the book of Ephesians, and it's chapter 5, verses 25 through 33. And I think you guys read a little bit of this last week. We're going to focus kind of on the husband's role here, although if you're not married or if you're the wife or if you're anyone in a relationship can learn from this. So it's not just husbands and wives, but I want to make sure that's clear that this is relationship information. You can use this to an extent with your children or if you're dating. So pay attention because there definitely is something that you can learn here. It starts like this. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are all members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. We can see in the scripture, Paul is writing this, and he's writing this to a specific church, and he's saying, when you're thinking about love, think about love in the way that Jesus loves the church. And that's your model. That's your expectation. And some of you might think, well, that's also an unrealistic expectation. I'm not sure I can do that. And for people who weren't raised in a church or haven't been part of a church family, that means absolutely nothing to them. They don't understand what in the world that is. And that's an expectation that it's not even unrealistic. It's just unfathomable. They can't quite comprehend that. For you guys who are part of a new church, it's a little easier to understand, isn't it? Our church, Lighthouse, we celebrated our third birthday in August. So we're kind of like 3 and a half right now. So we're just a little bit older than you guys. And if you've been around even just a couple weeks here at the Well, I know you see how different a new church is to a church that's been around 100 years. And in a way, you can kind of see the similarities between a new relationship where everything's in the in love stage and when you've been married for 30, 40 years. It's kind of similar. When you have a new church, you have to do a lot of work. And it's not that it feels like work. It's exciting because it's something new and different, and you're in love with this idea and this concept of serving God this new way. But when you've been around for a long time and you get more established, some of those things you don't have to do anymore. And you think, well, that'll be great when I don't have to do all of this kind of setup and I don't have to explain who we are and why we're different. People just know. And you're in that stage of being a church. Things are different. Doesn't mean you don't love God or love the church any less. It's just different. And it's kind of the same way with relationships. Kind of time out again a little bit more about myself. I did not start out thinking I was going to be a pastor. I went to Georgia Tech, thought I was going to be the most successful businesswoman in the entire world along the lines of computer programming. And I did that for 3 years until I got the call to ministry and I thought, this is a big change. But one of the things I did in college was I got a minor in French. Now, this has only served me well twice. I've been to France 2 times. And each time I've gone, I've been able to go up and ask for a ticket and be on my merry way. And that's pretty much it. Or count my change. Or, you know, that's pretty much it. Read the signs. Last time I went to France was about 5 years ago. And it had been a while since I'd been in college. So I hadn't spoken French in a while. And the first day, I go up to the counter. We're about to get on the train to go to Versailles. And I said, Dos BA, please. Which, if you don't know, is 3 different languages all in one. And luckily, they understood 2 and ticket. And I got the tickets. We got on the train, and it was okay. By the 3rd and 4th day, I'm going up going, Est-ce que vous acceptez la carte de crédit? And they're like, oh, well, yes, here we go. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. When you're learning a language, it takes immersion or a lot of work to kind of get in the habit of speaking that language. And your primary language is always just going to be second nature to you. That's just who you are. That's what you understand. That's how you are. That's just who you are. But when you learn a new language, you might be kind of natural to maybe one or another, but it does take a lot of work, and it's exciting because you're like, oh, I can say something bad about that person in another language, and they just don't know. It's just, you know, there's all these tricks that you learn. You know, what's the first thing you learn when you learn a new language? The bad words. Yeah, I heard someone say it right over here. The bad words, you know, because you're like, well, that's exciting. No one knows the bad words. You know, you learn your numbers, your colors, and the bad words. And so, because you know, well, and where the bathroom is. Because I can say, where's the bathroom in 4 different languages, which is actually quite important. Because when you go to another country, that's pretty important. So I can say all those things in other languages, but it takes that practice and listening to it and repeating it with other people, especially people who are native speakers, to kind of really get immersed in that. There is a book called The Five Love Languages, and this is by Gary Chapman, and in it he talks about how we speak in different love languages. Kind of a side note again, I'm really big on side notes, and I just realized that. So anyway, as a little side note, men and women, very different. We are all born, though, with 8 emotional crayons. You may have heard this before. 8 emotional crayons. We all have our primary colors, and then we even have orange and purple and green, and usually a black and a brown. And by the time women are 14, I would say, we've expanded to 144 box. We've got the big box of crayons. We've got metallic silver and aubergine, and we're very proud of our crayons. And men still have those 8. And they usually haven't dulled the tips on a couple of them. You know, there's just like, there's their favorite. And maybe girls, maybe they're just more efficient than we are on their emotional crayons. But I found it interesting that a man would write this and only have 5, but I think if a woman wrote it, there'd be the 5 primary love languages, and then the, you know, 5 secondary from the first one, and so on and so on and so on. But you kind of get the drift if you read the book about how there are different ways that we communicate to each other via our love language, and some of us have a primary way that we talk, but our spouse or our child or somebody else in our life, they may speak in a different love language, and when you realize how they speak, you can speak to them in that language and show them more love and have a closer relationship. Some of these, I think we've got PowerPoint slides here that we're going to go through these, and I want to show you how Christ loves the church through all of these love languages and how you can love your spouse or someone else by knowing your love language and their love language. The first of these, I believe, is words of affirmation. When you think of the church and you come in, the first thing you guys do after your announcements, you go right into song. You're praising God. You're telling God how much you love him. Those are words of affirmation. I love you, and I want you to love me from the inside out. Can you please just, God, live within me? Let my light shine. It's just all praise and affirmation. Because when you meet someone for the first time, you want to start out on a positive note. And when you haven't seen someone for a while, you want to start out on a positive note. So that's what the words of affirmation are. And we often forget that Jesus loves us with words of affirmation. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Let your light shine. You are the salt of the earth. All of these words in the Bible are affirmations of us. So not only do we praise God, but God has offered us words of affirmation back. The next love language that we have is quality time. And as I talked about, in a new church, quality time is very important because you're here a lot. There's a lot more to do kind of on certain ends of things. But quality time is also important in a church that's been around for a long time because it's not just that 1 hour on Sunday that you are part of a church. It's being the church to other people 24/7. Being the body of Christ all throughout the week. And that is how we can show that love language back to God, is through our quality time. And Jesus also spends time with us when we're just there in prayer, even when we don't know that God is there. He's still there supporting us and sustaining us. Next love language is receiving gifts. Now, we give gifts back to God. We take up an offering, and there's no way that a church can survive without monetary gifts. If we don't have the monetary gifts, we can't keep the lights on. You can't do a whole lot of things that you really are used to and that are really good to help changing the world in your community. But God also gives us gifts, right? God gives us spiritual gifts, gifts of teaching, gifts of administration, gifts of serving, all sorts of gifts that we can use to be the church. Our next love language that we can see is acts of service. And I noticed that Dee Dee, when she was talking earlier today, she said, our mission is to serve, serve, serve. You're serving in your church. You're serving through your church into the community. And God is serving you by giving you this place in which to do that. So service in the church, very important. It's one of those ways that God loves us. And then we have the fifth quality, which is physical touch. And you think, well, how in the world does that work with God? And there's a couple of ways that I can see physical touch being a way that God shows us his love. One of the ways is through other people in fellowship. When you come in, you shake somebody's hand, say, hey, I haven't seen you in a week or two. It's just great to see you again. Or you might give them a hug or the awkward side hug. I don't know if you guys do the awkward side hug, but, you know, some people do the awkward. Some people are just full on and you're like, please stop hugging me. But, you know, others are very physical with their touch and give good hugs, and they just are so happy to see you. But also, I think that God shows physical touch through baptism. And this might not be something that you see often. We don't do baptisms that often at Lighthouse, but when we do, it's very special because we're able to lay hands on someone, a baby or an adult, and wash them with water, and we're physically touching them. And in that moment, God and the Holy Spirit is just upon that person. So when I think of physical touch and God loving us that way, that's how I see God. Also through communion and the fact that God is there present in that moment and we're touching and tasting the body of Christ and the blood of Christ and coming together in that moment when we do that. So I think that of physical touch more in a sacramental sense and in those two things that we do in our church. But if you have all these five qualities and that is how God loves the church, that's also how you need to love your spouse. Now, I know that my love language is quality time. And by quality time, that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be singing in Central Park together, because that's not ever going to happen. But quality time could just be, let's just sit down and watch TV together. And I know you're thinking, well, that's not really like quality time. Well, to me, it is, because we're together. And there's so many times in my busy, busy life where I'm like, okay, down tomorrow, Johnny's got a baseball game. And the next day, Shane's got a basketball game. And, you know, Dory's got to go to bed at 8 o'clock, so I can't take him to both places. So you got to go take him there and, her, you know, him there. So, the baby's got to be put to bed. And I've got a meeting tonight for this special event. And then I've got a PTO thing I've got to go to. And our lives get filled up with hectic things that are important. But if I don't personally schedule some time just to be with my husband, then I don't get filled up with love the way that I need to. Because, I mean, he can do words of affirmation, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch all day long. And I'm like, unless I'm just sitting and being with him, I'm not getting the love that I need. So I know that is mine. And fortunately and unfortunately, that is also his. So unfortunately, if we can't be together, these other love languages don't necessarily suffice. They're okay and they can kind of get us by. But if he's got a business trip and is away for a week, something is lost. And we have to be back together. The good news is, since we speak the same love language, we understand that and can show each other love. And we understand how to express that. It's natural for us to say, hey, let's just go hang. Let's just go do this. Sometimes it's better when you're not the same love language because it gives a little bit more variety. When you think about words of affirmation, a lot of people, when you're thinking about your spouse, will think compliments. And a compliment goes a long way. I think in the book it talks about Mark Twain said, a good compliment will last me 6 months. And sometimes that is true. I mean, someone sent me an email the other day complimenting me, and I'm still like, oh, that was just, oh, I just left. That person has gone way up here in my eyes because they complimented me. And, you know, I mean, it's just like saying, oh, it's a good hair day for you. You know, I mean, girls like that kind of thing. We, you know, does this make my butt look big? What is the answer, guys? Thank you. It is no. It is no. Yeah. Okay. We want a word of affirmation. That's not a trick question. The answer is no. We want a word of affirmation. When we ask you anything, you know, is my hair okay? The answer is yes. Yes. You're just beautiful the way you are. And we know that you're full of it. It's okay. We want you to lie. It's one of those things. We'll talk about forgiveness in a couple weeks. We really want you to lie. So that's what words of affirmation are. We want to hear the good things. And girls, when guys want words of affirmation, they want to hear, you're the man. This is what my husband tells me. I can't say this from experience, but he's like, who's the man? You're the man. That's what he wants, the respect that you guys talked about last week. Who is the man? You are the man. So just every so often, just do the little fist bump thing. You go, you're the man. And that should go a long way. If, guys, that is incorrect, please tell your partner, spouse, who, you know, however, so that they can get that cleared up. But for me, it's the, you're the man. Okay, quality time. Like I said, it could really be sitting and watching American Idol. Because together, you're making fun of those people that are so bad. And for like weeks, you're singing Pants on the Ground, like everywhere you go together. So it's fun. That's quality time, can be easy. It does not have to be the romantic dinner. It does not. Although those are nice every so often. Okay, I think that was one of the three things that people told me. Okay, receiving gifts. Now, receiving gifts, some girls like the bling. Okay, I'm wrong. Every girl likes the bling. Every girl likes a little bling. And so, you know, sometimes, though, a little bling goes a long way. And so, you know, gifts, you think of, I can't afford my wife anymore because she really likes receiving gifts. Gifts do not have to be the pricey things. Occasionally, you want to splurge and do the pricey things. That's okay. But sometimes it's just as easy as cutting a rose in the yard and bring it in and giving it to her. Or cutting a rose in the neighbor's yard if you don't have roses. And just, you know, giving it to her and, hey, this is for you and I love you. Sometimes it's a post-it note, you know, with something written on it, and you just kind of leave it there. Little email or a text message. Now, I have been told, and this might be for only the, like, 35 and up crowd, text messages, for that crowd, you have to at least do double to make it count. For a younger crowd, you can just text whatever you want. Yeah, I mean, that's totally fine. But if you're, you know, if you're 40 and you get a text message, you're so beautiful, that doesn't count quite as much as the phone call or in person. So that's just a generational thing that I understand. Okay, acts of service. I posted on Facebook this week. I said, okay, what can your husband do to show that you love, that he loves you? And about 70% of the women said he can do the dishes, which I thought, God, that's just laundry, but dishes was like the big thing, just doing the dishes. And I thought, wow, we have a lot of women who want acts of service. Just little things like, I'm going to do the dishes. I'm going to take out the trash without being asked. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to check off the honey-do list before I get a chance to be nagged about it. That's huge. I mean, that is huge, guys. Does my butt look big? No. I checked off the honey-do list. Two big bonus points right there. That is huge. And physical touch. Physical touch does not necessarily mean you're going to start going bow chicka bow well. Okay, you don't. That's not what it means. Physical touch is just kind of holding your hand, a little kiss. Not full blown PDA. Not like I was at the spring formal. It's not groping. It's just the little touch. If you need some pointers on this, do not look at Pepe Le Pew, because that's a little overboard. But just a little touch. It can be subtle. It can be where no one else sees it. But sometimes that contact is kind of what people, they need. Now, I will say this about all five love languages. Even though I have a primary one and you'll have a primary one, you want to be spoken to in all of these because that gives more variety. It gives kind of a different way to say I love you. And if you just speak in one language, sometimes you're alienating some of the love that can come into your life. So you want to be able to show love in all of these languages and receive love in all of these languages. Receiving love sometimes is the hardest, especially if you're acts of service. How many of you have ever been sick and someone brings over a meal and you just feel horrible because they brought a meal over and you're like, oh, they don't have to do that. Oh, that person is showing love to you when they do that. And as hard as it may be, accepting it and just saying thank you will go a long, long way. If you sometimes try to push someone out and say, no, I don't want that. Please don't praise me. Please don't give me anything. Please don't. Sometimes when you do that, you're pushing love away from you. So giving is just as important as receiving in this case. It's not necessarily just that this is how we give. We also need to know how to receive. Now, if you're wondering how in the world am I going to figure out, some of you look at this and go, oh, yep, I am receiving gifts. I really want a gift. I want a little present every single day. I want mint on my pillow and a post-it note. Did you hear that? You need to leave me a post-it note tomorrow. So go to Staples right after and get some post-it notes. But some of you are like, well, I kind of like quality time, but I kind of like acts of service. It may be that you're bilingual or trilingual or multilingual. And there's a way to find that out. If you get the book, and Pastor Andy has a copy back there at the welcome table. In the back of the book, there's a little quiz, and it will also give you suggestions on how to speak more in that language. But you do not have to get the book just to find out what your love language is. If you go to this website that we're going to put up here on the screen, it will tell you, you can go to that website and take, there's a short quiz you take online, and it will tell you this is your love language. This is what you, and it will rank the five in order. So it will say, you know what, your number one is quality time, but you're only just a half a point away from acts of service. And it will tell you what you are. So your homework for the week, and this is for pretty much anyone 14 and above, I want you to go to this website and figure out what your love language is, because it will do you wonders in all of your relationships to figure out, okay, you know what, the reason why I'm not getting as much out of the relationship with so-and-so is because they are always telling me these wonderful things, but I really need to have an act of service. And maybe if you can tell them or express that to them differently, or just understand that that's not part of who they are, it will go a long way in all of your relationships. And so after you take the quiz, here's the thing. If you are married or in a significant relationship, I would like for you to, if you've both taken the quiz, I want you every day for the next couple weeks to express love to that person in their love language. Not yours, in theirs. So every day for the next couple weeks, I've got to find at least a few minutes of time and sit down with my husband and just be. We can talk, we can play a game, we can watch American Idol, we can do anything together as long as we're spending time together. Preferably away from all the kids, but if we have to just focus on us while the kids are playing, that's okay too. That's okay too. So that's your homework for the next couple weeks. I hope that I've been informative, if not at least a little entertaining, about the five languages and how God wants you to love each other. God wants to model love for you through the church. So even if you're not working on a relationship right now, even if you're not part, have a spouse, remember that you are the church. And what you do and how you show love is a reflection of who God is. And when you leave today and you go out in the world and people ask you about your faith, or they see how you live and they see your faith through what you do, know that these are the love languages. These are the love languages that people are reading through. And that since God is showing these love languages to you, you should show them to people in all that you do. Let us pray. Wonderful God, thank you for our time together. Thank you for loving us so much that you show us different ways to love. Please be with us this week as we learn more about each other and learn how to show love. As we gather together soon, please help us to remember all of the things that you would have us to do. Let your Holy Spirit continue to fill us and sustain us. And let us be to one another what you would have us to shine into the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.